Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is God's Word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygelius and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Timothy is pastoring in Ephesus. Paul is in a dungeon in Rome. He's in chains. Previously, when he was under house arrest, the situation was much better. People came and went, and he was under house arrest, but it's sort of like folks who have the ankle bracelet. You know, he could still do stuff. Now, he's in a horrible, miserable, cold dungeon in Rome. And he knows that his time is drawing near. He knows he's going to die soon. And virtually everybody is just abandoning. There are a few who are with him. Luke is still with him. But he's eager for Timothy to come. And he's writing this letter because he wants Timothy to come. That's a major appeal in this letter. But he's also writing this because knowing that his time is short, he wants to shore up Timothy's courage and faith, not to be discouraged or dissuaded by the fact that if we're going to stand for Christ, we may end up like Paul, in chains with a death sentence. So as we read through this letter in the days and weeks to come, God willing, we need to remember that the circumstances here are encouragement from a guy who's in a really tough spot. He'd been through a lot already. Now, he realizes he's at the end. And one of the most painful things he's dealing with is loneliness. You and I need to be considerate of the fact that even people who truly love the Lord, people who are champions of the faith, can be lonely. They can end up in a situation where they feel somewhat abandoned. And don't, when you find someone who's struggling with that, don't just say, oh, get over it. Be willing to come alongside as God allows and to be an encouragement to them. Because Paul is going to tell us in this letter that he needed that. He missed it and he needed it. And that's why he's going to appeal later in the letter so strongly for Timothy to come. But as we start, Paul describes himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son. Now he started 1 Timothy by calling Timothy his dear son. And he's going to refer to him that way again in chapter 2, which we haven't read yet. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Why did he call him his son? Because he had been like a father to him. He literally was the one who circumcised Timothy. He had been a father to this young man. And he loved him the way a father loves a son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, that's a lovely greeting, and it occurs. It's not just a greeting. This is a message from God. This is his holy, inspired word. And God is saying, grace, mercy, and peace. When you spend a lot of time going to church and Sunday school and Christian school and things like that, you hear things like this, and pretty soon they just kind of are like water off a duck's back. Grace, mercy, and peace. Yeah, that's nice. Do you understand? There is a God who created all things. All of us have said to him, shove off. Leave us alone. I can run my life myself. I don't need you telling me what to do. God would be totally just in saying to the whole population of the earth, you're done, and destroying us. Instead, God has reached out to us in grace, in mercy, and brought us peace. Apart from the gospel, we cannot be at peace with God. We were his enemies. But God chose to save rather than destroy all those who trust in Jesus. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. When you pray for folks, do you thank God for them? Well, some. You know, I mean, some people, I can do that. Paul had an amazing capacity to thank God for all kinds of folks, including people who were obnoxious. When he's writing to the Philippians, he talks about people who literally are talking about the gospel not for the purpose of seeing people come to Christ and extend the kingdom of God, but in order to stir up trouble. And he says, but I just thank God that the gospel's being spoken. Isn't that amazing? God's that big. God's that strong. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. So even if the person who was preaching it turns out to have been a complete fraud, doesn't invalidate the truth of the gospel. The gospel is God's good news.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
I thank God as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. He didn't mention Timothy's dad. No, because as we said, Timothy's dad was not a believer. And guess what, folks? Please hear this. Your real family, if you're a Christian, is your brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I'd like for my unbelieving relatives to be a part of the family. Well, I would too. That's why we need to pray for them fervently and not compromise the gospel. Because if we compromise the gospel in order to make it more acceptable to people, we're not helping them. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, that seems awfully narrow. It is. In fact, Jesus used the word narrow to describe it. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many travel on it. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And few people find it. Well, this causes me to be somewhat concerned about some of the people that I know and care about. Good. It should. Well, what should I do? Pray for them. And don't compromise the gospel. Be true to God's word. So, he says, this faith of yours, Timothy, was first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He had not only circumcised Timothy, he had ordained him. And he had laid his hands on Timothy and prayed for him, and God had come through that to gift Timothy for ministry. And so he says, don't let that gift that's in you lie dormant. Fan it into flame. Exert effort to stir up that which God has gifted you with, what he has placed within you. He gave it to you on purpose. He gave it to you for a reason. And you need to use it for his glory. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Timothy clearly had a lot of issues with timidity, anxiety. He was not just a naturally outgoing person. You know how some people are? He was not like that. My son Clayton has never met a stranger. I don't care if it's the lowest echelons of society or multimillionaires. Clayton's totally at home. Completely relaxed, happy to share. I love that about him. I'm not like that. I have to really work at reaching out. I've been doing it for a long time. So some of you may think, that just comes naturally to Pastor Wood too. No, it doesn't. I'm by nature shy. Well, then how do you do what you do? I've been commanded. I have a responsibility. I have a role to fulfill. And so by God's grace, I seek to do it. Timothy is somebody I can relate to. And Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. In Romans 8, verse 15, Paul says, we have not been given a spirit of slavery to fear, but we've been given a spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. I can feel fear, but I don't have to be afraid. To be afraid means that I let the fear dictate my behavior. To feel fear means that I've got a challenge to overcome. It's not a shame to feel fear. But God tells us again and again, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So, verse 8, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us into a holy life. Think of what God has done for you and live a life based on that. What has God done? He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Now, if you know Paul's letter to the Ephesians, that should ring some bells. Ephesians chapter 1 expands dramatically on this. He'd already written that. But he's now, again, reminding Timothy and the church in Ephesus, because he's going to ask that this letter be shared with them. He's reminding them that the salvation that is ours is not based on anything we do. For by grace we're saved through faith, not a result of works, lest anyone should boast. God is the one who saves us. So, Timothy, in light of what God has done, you and I are to share the good news. Of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. He says, the reason I'm in a dungeon in chains is because my job is to share the good news. And I've been doing what God told me to do, and this is where it led me. Now, don't be ashamed to do the same thing. And don't be ashamed to suffer. And don't be afraid. Let me just tell you something. If I had a choice between going to a whole series of parties where I felt awkward or being in chains in a dungeon, I would go to parties every day. You understand? We tend to shrink back from things that make us uncomfortable. But Paul says, you need to be realistic. You may end up like me. Don't let that hold you back. Don't be afraid. The reason I'm suffering like this is because God appointed me as a messenger to share the gospel. This gospel, this grace, was given us in Christ before the beginning of time. How is that possible? Because God predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. People who just are repulsed by the doctrine of election, the doctrine of predestination, really need to be like Thomas Jefferson and take a razor and cut certain parts out of the Bible. Because if you're going to be true to the Scriptures, you've got to be true to what it says. And that is, salvation is something that God appointed us to before the beginning of time. That's why I'm suffering as I am, verse 12, yet I'm not ashamed. Here's why. Because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that He is able to guard what I've entrusted to Him for that day. It is important for us to know what we believe. That's important. Apologetics are great. You need to have a firm grip on basic theology and Bible doctrine. All for it. But that's not enough. It needs to be relational. Paul doesn't say, for I know what I have believed. He says, for I know whom I have believed. He had a relationship with the God who saved him. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him. Say, well, how is that possible when Jesus lived such a long time ago? Because Jesus conquered death and is alive right now, and you can know Him. And everything else may get stripped away from you, but He will always be there for you. You say, well, didn't you say that Paul got lonely? Yes. But who does he speak to all day long? Oh, the Lord. Is that his imaginary friend? No. It is his Lord. When he's thinking about Timothy, he prays for Timothy. But who does he pray to? The Lord. The Lord. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The Holy Spirit who lives in us. If you are born again, if you are a child of God, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, guess what? God isn't just close by. He lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Vigilus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. What day? The day of judgment. Oh, don't you think he's saved? He's saying it still is dependent upon God's mercy. He doesn't say, I'm sure based on what he's done enough to get into heaven. He's saying, no, it's mercy for all of us. It's mercy for all of us. That's what we need.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.